Dusty Sellers. How many Catholics do you have to kill for it to be a massacre? It's the final countdown.
Straight in, the distance between setup and punchline in that joke was almost zero, man. It's highly efficient.
Yeah, I'm Manus Cronin, author of that and other jokes that were sufficiently worse than it that they're not in the program.
You're welcome, listener.
Oh, you want to know some of them? Because I've got them in a list right
now. Oh,
here.
No.
Leaving more tips than a leper with frostbite. It's the final countdown.
That's a bit, I would consider that better.
I would consider that better as well, yeah.
Yeah, well then, it's a good thing you're in charge. It's only when you understand Korean naming convention that you see the familial link between Obi's Trice and Wan Kenobi.
So very delicate wording on that one, and you crushed it. That was the exact way to tell that
joke. I'm not sure if that's a better joke than the previous two ones. It is the one that I enjoyed the most, but that is no indication of quality.
I think it's the best joke. Real name, no gimmicks.
when you say that, Gavin, I am reminded of when Ross Duncan quote unquote directed our second or first Edinburgh show. I can't remember which it was.
I think it was our first one, yeah.
And there was one joke and he just shit himself laughing at it. And he was like, I don't want you to take this as a suggestion that that joke is good. It isn't. I just enjoyed it the most.
Like, amazingly honest.
Do you remember what that joke was?
Oh, yeah, I remember. You want me to say it?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, please.
It was in the Home Alone 10 sketch where the two robbers come in and they interrupt the Kevin McAllister, now age 25 and masturbating. And they say, let's Gareth, let's Christian, let's Bale.
Let's Bale. Objectively not a good joke. Tickle some people the right way.
I've heard that joke close, which means that in spite of his advice, it was not cut.
Oh, we weren't going to cut it. Oh, I mean...
I would mean replacing it with another joke.
Yeah.
I mean writing another joke.
Joining us this week is always... okay, you had intros at some point. And, you know, whatever I did with them, it's up there. Gavin Carberry, James Belfast, and Jack Toner are here. I can't keep going. My phone's on like 25% battery, so being on low power mode, every time I leave it alone for a second, it fucking locks. So I'm not. I can't.
I think you knocked it out of the park with the opening.
Yeah. Best intros, yes.
Yeah, that is that's something.
Damning indictment. I meant it to be.
Hey, it is what it is, and here we are on the agenda this week. Fueling the Mischief, the Porridge Movie, Uncle Manto out in force. No, that was a joke I said couldn't go anywhere.
Is that the one item? Porridge.
You're not being folksy. Uncle Manto out in force is an item. You're not being folksy, you're being fake. That's another one.
Okay, oh, I'm interested in that.
And a minor correction. It's actually not a correction, it's an update. I was trying to find what episode we first really went off on the Eagles. I don't know if you remember that being a big theme of our podcast every little while. You know, back when we thought people were going to be into it and like, Ben suggested it might be the For the Dads episode, so I went back and listened to that, trying to pick out the rant. I don't think it was that one, but what I did notice was we said in that episode, like 92, I think it was episode 92, we said, oh well, I'll tell you, those folding bikes, they're for the dads. You'll never see a young person with one of those.
Pie all over our face.
I mean, how much pie? It is humble and it is on our face.
That is why I never listen to anything we say. And why you should almost exclusively bet against us, I would say.
But also don't use that as a strategy, because we're, in addition to being wrong, wildly unreliable.
Yeah.
I mean, get it right just enough to be inconvenient.
Yeah.
I don't know what that percentage is, like 25%, maybe 20.
I mean, I think we call Brexit.
Yeah.
Which makes us better than
if you were
to
met the house on us, you would lose the house.
Every political scientist is stupider than we are, first of all, because we got that and no one else did.
You said called, or did you mean caused? Because
it might have been, you know, I think we caused it.
I think we caused it, yeah. Inadvertently, but we did cause it.
We did cause it. But we got the folding bikes wrong. Now it's only kids who have them. I don't know why. Are kids lamer now? Well, I mean,
no.
They are lamer.
Sorry. I think that this is wrong. I don't think the kids have folding bikes. The kids have electric bikes.
They have electric scooters.
I think folding
sometimes
bikes are still for the dads.
Now they are the same.
They are the same shape, except one of them folds and one of them is electric. But the tiny wheels, the sitting up thing, kids are on electric bikes. Dads are on folding bikes.
That would stand to reason that because kids are very stupid, so they will have got a bicycle with all of the disadvantages of a folding bike with none of the convenience. Yeah, I mean, I can see.
Yeah. That. Mm. Kids love electric things. Those electric scooters, all kids. Not wearing helmets, this isn't related to the electric things. All kids.
Electric picnic, full of kids. Electric six.
Full of kids.
I'm telling you, by extension,
I'm telling
cars.
You.
Full of kids.
I think we might be. I think we're knocking on the door of some fairly unhealthy and dated stereotypes.
That is not what I was getting at all. Well, Electric Six have a song with the lyrics, "I want to take you to a gay bar." I was not trying to equate gay people with pedophiles. Yeah, that stereotype can, in fact, get in the bin.
It's good that we've finally taken a hard stance.
We're against that.
Yeah. And if you're for that, you're worse than us. And I can't imagine anything worse.
I mean, can you imagine being worse than us? And yet there are people who go out and are like pleased with themselves that are worse than us.
Oh, God. Makes you wonder.
It makes you wonder
what beer we're drinking this week.
And why? What have we got?
That actually is the smoothest segue we've ever done. Let's all pause to rough it up.
what have we got, folks?
We
have
Yellow Belly. And it is the
Tin Can of Emotion.
Of Emotion, double IPA.
Is it? I can't see what Paul has drawn on it. Is it an Anchorman reference?
It's most certainly an Anchorman reference. Yeah, it is the Yellow Belly Man wearing a suit with a
the
like
same
in
suit
the Anchorman
Will
colors.
Ferrell is wearing in that scene in the movie.
Yeah, there's a phone, so he's obviously in a phone booth. Yeah, he's in a.
One thing I like about
it's an Anchorman reference.
One thing I like about the artwork is that if you look at the arse of the can, you see the arse of the man, and that he's actually painted him from the other side as well, which I really do enjoy and appreciate.
That is excellent.
Yeah, they've done a great
stellar
job.
Stellar work, Paul.
Stellar work as always.
He should do some stellar work. Frankly, their cans could do with the upgrade.
Yeah, just draw someone in a wife beater, like shouting at children who are near his house, you know?
It is the official beer of wearing a vest, hitting your wife, and shouting at children. You'd think, I mean, it must be delicious, because with those as its things it's associated with, you'd think no one would buy it.
Yeah, you'd think. The branding is so toxic that it must be an incredible product.
And they paid so much money. They paid so much money for the sitting beside a road in a plastic chair sponsorship market.
Yeah.
Really... plastic chair that you catch a little bit of the back of your thigh in when you stand up. That is the seat of Stella Artois.
The official seat of Stella Artois.
Except in America, where at least up until recently, they thought it was fancy.
Well, anything imported there is fancy.
True. That's why they had Barack Obama, even though he was from Kenya and clearly Muslim.
a blast from the past.
Don't there. You miss when that was the conspiracy?
Oh, yeah. Well, like, that was a like conspiracy theory, like purely founded in people's racism. Like, there's no way that a black guy is from America, despite the fact that it's like 20% of their population. It's like, oh, it's impossible.
He couldn't
this guy
be.
Could be born here.
Particularly, and I don't want to give them a history lesson, although somebody should.
Frozen. Sweet as somebody, a nut.
Somebody should give them a history lesson, although I don't want to be the one to do it. But given that, like, a bunch of the black people who came there didn't want to come there. Mm. You know? Well, he's probably just lying. He's probably from Kenya and a Muslim as well. He's probably lying.
What? Are there any fun conspiracy theories? Or are there any credible conspiracy theories that you, like, would subscribe to?
Other than Hollow Earth.
Other than concave Earth.
I'm going to tell you all of the conspiracy theories are credible because we use the term wrong. Theory doesn't mean hypothesis or guess. Theory is like, this is what the evidence points to. And until something, only one theory can occupy the space. Mm. And then another one has to come along. So like, yeah, there is a bunch of true conspiracy ones. For example, I'm convinced a lot of the bullshit is CIA stuff because they're like, it's super obvious we killed Kennedy, like it's so we need
to muddy the waters here.
Fuck, and you know what, if they weren't going to figure it out after getting the first Kennedy, the second one, MLK and Malcolm X afterwards, should have maybe pointed them towards the fucking
God, the CIA were really killing everybody back then, weren't they?
They really had one move.
And all the good ones too.
That was their 60s move. They just have different moves now. And like, they got Kennedy, and then they were like, okay, who killed him? Okay, well, it was Oswald, but we better kill him. All right, well, we'll kill him, obviously. And who will we get to kill him? Well, we'll get Jack Ruby, sensible Jack Ruby. He'll do it. Okay, what we do with him? Oh, well, we'll kill him. I mean, you know, but first we'll have to make sure he has a psychotic break. Do we have anyone working on LSD experiments in it's just, that'd be real handy right now. We did that.
I never like, why did they want to kill Kennedy?
I don't, frankly, the short
because
answer
they could.
Yeah, that was their go-to move. The short answer is I don't know, we can't know, and we won't know. People in 500 years will know, but we won't get to. There is like a bunch of theories, like he might have been making moves against the CIA, which would make sense. That might be a theory. I might actually grant that the power of theory, but it's not necessarily right or wrong. But what you really realize when you get into looking at these things is that, like, you know, I don't have to. I don't know who stabbed Caesar. But I know that someone did. And I know, I don't know who killed the Gracchi, you know. You can get bogged down in the minutiae. I think a lot of political folk do. And I think it's... The fact is, you're never going to know that sort of stuff. But if you're just willing to take a broad enough picture of it, you go, oh, yeah. Well, you know, they used to kill people in the 60s who just did stuff they didn't like. And they really do seem to have killed him. So, like, you know, beyond that, I'm not paid enough to fucking speculate. And thankfully, remember any CIA person who is listening to this, that we... Will, if you ask us to, just, you don't have to kill us, we'll just lie if you ask us. You don't even have to pay.
If someone threatened to kill me, I would lie my ass off. I'd sell you all down the river.
Yeah, so like, if you're like, oh, those guys are kind of harping on the Kennedy thing. You don't have to kill us. You just a phone call. I will stop.
A mild, mild insinuation.
Yeah, and also on the flip side, if you believe that us being associated with this conspiracy theory actually takes away from its credibility, we will keep saying it.
Yeah,
we will,
whatever
honestly,
you
like.
Whatever side you need
these
us to be
four
on.
Dumb dumbs can really muddy the waters. Like, we'll keep saying it.
There's nothing we won't do to avoid any discomfort for ourselves. So,
hey, if you need, hey, if you need another Kennedy gone and a fall guy, you could do worse.
Yeah, I mean, I am absolutely willing to set Ben Clifford up. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like the kind of thing that Ben would do as well.
Doesn't it? I mean, wasn't he always talking about it? I mean, I think he was.
Yeah.
I remember, yeah. Like, obviously, when we were in the kitchen in Jack's parents' house, like, we didn't have microphone on. But I seem to remember him harping on about killing Kennedys quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, his favorite band was Dead Kennedys, and he was always so super careful to not say it in front of a microphone. So, yeah, and if anything, that proves it more. That proves it more.
Yeah, that proves it way more.
I mean, that there's no proof.
When he gouged that swastika into his arse, because no one can see it, but you know. Like, who's that for at that point?
That there's no proof makes it worse.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
An innocent man would leave some proof. You know what I mean?
What's that phrase? Guilty until proven innocent?
Yeah, I think that's the phrase. I'm not looking it up, but I'm fairly sure that's the phrase. Lads, has anyone tasted this beer?
Loads. In the time we've been noodling around, I've had like loads of sips.
Yeah.
This is a double IPA, and it lets you know. It is cloudy, murky, it's boozy, but also, I feel like there's good flavor there. I feel like this is a nice IPA, nice double IPA. As I have drank two double IPAs in a row, 2 weeks in a row, I'm starting to realize that maybe the taste to both of them is just booze. And also, maybe that's fine.
I would disagree that it's just booze. I think the booze is doing the heavy lifting.
I'm not saying this is like fucking moonshine or anything, but like
it's remarkably smooth, I think, given how boozy it is. I think
what would either of you pencil neck geeks know about heavy lifting?
Manus, I might weigh more than I probably don't weigh more than you, you're still taller.
I weigh 67 kilograms at the moment.
I weigh more than you, you son of a bitch. Now I can win in fights, except for all those other reasons.
Except of all the muscles I have and the training and fighting that I've done.
Yeah, getting there.
James, I feel like you have a more considered view on this than it tastes boozy.
I think there's a lot going on here. There's sort of feels like there's so many different flavors that it's almost hard to pick them all out. It seems to be simultaneously kind of sweet and bitter, and there's definitely almost a creaminess to it. I think Jack said I agree with that. It's very smooth to drink, and then there is the big alcohol heat, but there's a lot going on underneath that. I'm still trying to figure out what that is, but I like it so far.
I don't think there's a huge depth of complexity to it, or if there is, I'm too ignorant to know. But I really enjoy the flavor profile of this.
Well, if the options you presented are either A, I'm wrong, or B, you're an idiot, I'm going to go with B.
You know what?
I do like how much body it has as well. Like it's very smooth, kind of sits easily on the palate. I'd like for mine to get a bit. It's been in the fridge for ages. Maybe a little bit warmer might taste like a bit more then, but it's a good double IPA. I like it.
Cool. I might as well tell you, you can say whatever you like. The good thing about this episode, you can say whatever you like now, because frankly, I'm just going to loop James saying that Jack is an idiot for like the whole thing when the edit comes in. So you can just say whatever you want.
If you want a couple of different takes on that, I'm happy to just like sit here while James just gives you a few more, just a few, like a few more, like Jack is an idiot, you're an idiot. Yeah. A few more, just give you, just to give you choices.
And also you have that loop of Jack calling himself an idiot there, which I think will come in useful like in the future.
The inevitable.
I've also, I mean, you know, that was probably the first time anyone's ever been like, hey, Manus, you're not fat anymore, so you're probably worse at sports.
You're worse at some sports.
I was like, Manus, you know, you weigh less than me now, so matter of fact is...
No, I think always, I can kick your ass.
No, it's because you, who, by the way, can suck my dick, have always said, it's because I weigh the most, so I'll win the fight. That's your rules. You made the rules of this universe.
I'm the oldest.
I'm the oldest. I weigh the most.
I am the. I don't weigh the most anymore, but I am still the oldest.
You do weigh the least. You weigh the least. You definitely weigh the least. Because you. James definitely weighs the most. I weigh something in the region of like 72 or something.
Like I'm fucking shredded. I'm fucking shredded at the moment.
Have we all? Sorry. Manus, I know.
But Manus, unfortunately, it's not about who looks the best. It's about who's the best.
You're right. It's true. I actually have to. I have to take this loss in status, like a man. I'm just gonna have to just
have a few donuts until you can kick our ass.
Yeah, I need you to get in significantly worse shape and then fight me. That's basically only then will you win.
Although it's funny, if I was to get in a physical confrontation now, like a lot of what I would have normally been a go-to, like I wouldn't do anymore. It's like I used to just have this kind of thing where I would just hold on and hope for the best, and just by being a big fat ass, it kind of worked.
You also had the classic technique of nutting them in the mush.
Yeah, that's true. If you don't mind that your head might get cut open, and if you're willing to just nut somebody in the mush.
Sorry, nutting in the mush.
Yeah.
Nutting in the mush could be like headbutting someone in the face, or a really disgusting way to say having sex.
Oh no, there's sex, and then there's nutting in the mush.
Nutting in the mush.
There is something to be said for being willing to do that. And like the thing is, if you're willing to do it, you have to do it like straight away.
Yeah, you can't incorporate that into a combo.
You don't wait. Yeah, you don't wait till you're in the middle of it and go, things are getting pretty serious now. I want to headbutt this guy right in the face. No, that's your first move.
The more I think about it, a lot of Manus's fighting tactics are based on the element of surprise. Get them early. So either go straight for the headbutt or go straight for the uptown girl. Throw them off.
I lost a fight to a traveler when I was 12. He broke my nose. Like, it was awful. It was a disaster and it was a mess. And about after that point, maybe I was even 11. And after that point, I said, oh, losing these things is terrible. And I hate it. So I'm going to do anything to avoid that happening again. If you hear a story about me headbutting a guy, I probably did it. One of the first things I do.
If you hear a story about him killing a Kennedy, he probably did it too. You know?
Or didn't. Whatever way you want that to play out.
Whatever way you want it to play out, CA.
Back and to the left.
You got to nut him in the mush. Back into the left.
I mean, given that they were setting him up anyway, why not just have incontrovertible proof that Oswald killed him by nutting him in the mush? Just have him walk up and do it.
What is the coroner saying? His mush has been thoroughly nutted.
I mean, you still would have the conspiracy guys. They're not going anywhere. They still would be like, oh, what? Are we to believe this was some sort of magic headbutt? There had to be a second nutter.
There had to be a second. Yeah, and it'd be way more difficult because you'd have a CIA guy behind him, nutting him in the mush from behind.
From the grassy knoll.
From the grassy knoll.
But then, given that that's your method, you have to kill Oswald with a nut in the mush. You have to kill Ruby with a nut in the mush. Then Ciarán, fucking 5 years later, has to walk up to Bobby Kennedy in the basement of a California hotel after the California primary and nut him in the mush.
There's only one way to end an American dynasty, but you got to be ready to nut some mush.
You got to be ready to nut some fucking mush.
That's, I think that's why Ted Kennedy put on so much weight over the as he got older. I need to weigh the most.
I'm not going the same way.
Also, if you have enough of a belly, it kind of prevents someone getting like in there, like
heavy. Yeah, they can't quite reach. And the last thing you want to do, that's the key to nutting in the mush, is not early, not often.
I've been living by that for years, man.
Like, you kind of have to win. Like, if you do that and you lose...
I actually watched this documentary, Manus, that I think featured your philosophy quite a lot. It was strike hard, strike first, no mercy. It's the mantra of Cobra Kai. That documentary about those kids in California who have karate.
Oh yeah, I'm with you. They actually do several sports, and that's where I did my taekwondo. Was actually in Cobra Kai.
Good. Yeah, you really do talk a good Cobra Kai game.
Yeah, and it's the actual philosophy is strike first, strike hard, strike fast, and if you don't win, then backtrack. Apologize.
Run away. Power.
Steps 4 through 9 of the mantra are a lot more negotiation than physical assault.
A fight with me is a bit like RTE news, and I'll explain what I'm talking about. It's like real depressing and sad at the start, but if you can stick around to the end, I'll be like, here's a choir singing wheelchairs. Doesn't everybody feel nice? It's like, there's no middle ground. There's no like gritty part. It's like, oh, that's atrocious. I can't believe he's done that.
Yeah.
And then it's a bird who's learned to sing the anthem, you know. It's immediately like, hey, relax, everybody, here's the sports.
Yeah, it's all good, don't worry.
You do have to, with the nut 'em in the mush philosophy, you do have to be willing to cower and apologize.
Yeah, so wait, nut 'em in the mush, you said you have to win. Is that like win the initial nutting? Because the nutting can go two ways. Like, you could accidentally nut your own mush.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why it's the hard part of the head against the soft part of the face. It's a key distinction. And yeah. I got that wrong for years, and it lost me a lot of good fights.
Just kept pushing my nose into their forehead.
Yeah. And let me tell you, I've got a big nose, but it's not as hard as it looks.
Yeah.
No, it looks, and the looks key, quite dense.
The key is no one likes you anyway. Once you've made the decision that you're a nut in the mush guy, no one likes you. You don't have very many friends. But if you do it early enough and you win, they might just respect you afterwards. No one respects nut in the mush guy when he loses.
Yeah.
Everyone goes, well, good thing that he lost.
Yeah.
Not much good.
Man, that sucker punch really didn't work out for you, did it? Really got your ass kicked after that.
Who gets more righteous indignation on the internet than someone who tries to sucker punch and then loses?
I mean, they are my favorite videos to watch. Or the
bully
people
gets
fights.
Bully gets schooled by insert some sort of bully
yes.
attribute.
Yeah. Or even like. You know, I'm not particularly a big fan of bouncers, but I'm even less of a fan of people who start fights with bouncers. And I'm like willing to watch a bouncer kick the shit out of someone.
Yeah.
And like, arsehole bouncer kicks the shit out of innocent victim gets like 5 clicks.
Yeah.
No one really cares if that happens. But innocent victim turns tables on arsehole bouncer, viral sensation.
Bing, bang, boom. Yeah.
Viral sensation.
And you don't want to be a viral sensation.
No.
No, you really don't.
Yeah.
You want, I mean, yeah. You want to be,
someone said, like, every day there's a main character on Twitter and your goal is to never be it.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
That is amazing.
That's incredible.
I'm very curious to hear what trial all of this is going to be played back on as evidence that I clearly deliberately did the thing they're accusing me of.
And you can hear him on the tape, Your Honor, saying, I'm going to nut your mush good.
But people need to know that you will do that. Otherwise, you might have to do it more.
All right, man,
the real key is having people know that you'll do it.
So you gotta, yeah. It's the classic, like, if people think you...
Nixon
think
will you put his finger on the button, you know?
Yeah!
If people think you get up early, you can sleep all day.
The mutually assured destruction thing, like, part of it is them thinking you're nuts. If they think you're a sane and rational actor, it doesn't work.
Manus, I want your thoughts. Look, there's another school of thought on how to win a fight you started. which is... you go straight, never mind nutting in the mush, you go for a mush in the nuts.
Nah, if you've ever tried it, it doesn't work.
Kicking somebody in the balls?
Not really. Not if they're.
Doesn't work.
That's the assured, understated confidence of a man who's seen it or done it.
Like, it'll work if you could kick their ass anyway. But like, are we frozen?
I'm just really surprised by this.
Yeah, I'm in shock and disbelief.
Stunned silence.
I mean, if I wasn't prepared for it, that I could stop a kick right to my nads. And that is like, nut to the mush be damned. That is truly disabling.
You'd be amazed when somebody's blood's up, like, it'll really hurt later and they'll be really annoyed that you did it. But in the height of it.
Really?
Yeah, it's...
Fucking hell.
Look, I could be fucking wrong.
You ignore the pain of like a real like shot to the groin, like a real football in there.
Look, I've been kicked in the balls and I have had my nose explode. And I will tell you that like you can, if you're pissed off enough, you can grit your teeth and get over the fact that someone's just kicked you in the balls. It really hurts. And that pain is there to tell you that it's not a good evolutionary decision to have that keep happening. But you're not debilitated.
Okay, Manus, there's actually only one way to settle this. And it's only recently possible. So now that we, broadly speaking, weigh the same, me and you need to fight. And how that fight needs to start is I'm going to hoof you in the nuts. And you're going to mush nut me in the mush. And we need to see, then we need to continue the fight and see how it all pans out from there.
I think I speak for both James and myself when I say, that's absolutely the best thing that needs to happen.
I also think we'd also need to have maybe like a week apart. We'd also need to just have a control fight without the starting conditions, just the two of you going at each other.
We need a third week where like we need to control for different fighting abilities, so we need to switch one where like Manus kicks you in the balls and you nut him in the mush and then you go at it, so like we need 3 weeks of you guys fighting.
And then I think I can already tell that like Gavin's probably going to spill something during the fight which will contaminate the sample, so we'll probably have to do one of them again.
We need a safety week as well. Yeah, so when Manus wins all four fights through sheer knackerdom alone, then what will we have proven?
I mean, like, you know, like, science doesn't
happen overnight. We'll be proving that three quarters of the group will have a massively improved mood.
That is most.
75% effective.
When you are being pretty much told to your face that you're going to be the heel in a feud with me, you need to rethink some of your life choices, Jack.
That's a good ass point, Manus. That is a good ass point.
I didn't think I was the heel. I thought I was just going to lose. But now that you've said it, everyone would be pretty.
No, I don't know that you'd lose. You mightn't, but I know you're the heel. People tend not to root for your type against mine. They tend to root for most types against mine, but not yours.
Yeah, that's true. Honestly, the only thing I've ever really succeeded in that was difficult was making the wrestling character of Dancing Millionaire popular and likable. And that was brief.
It's truly. Jack, credit where credit is due. It is amazing to see the Sean O'Casey Community Center blow up for rich millionaire.
Yeah,
just be like
dancing capitalist.
Yeah, fuck that other guy.
Yeah, Eastwall loves a good dancing capitalist. If I know anything, I know this. Eastwall loves a dancing capitalist.
Is it just
capitalist?
The variety compared to all the other wrestlers there whose character is guy from Ireland who likes to fight?
Yeah, because I'm
who worked really hard, who scratched and clawed for every opportunity.
That needs to be banned as a character.
Yeah, big time.
The word opportunity needs to be banned, and also so does and so does respect.
I think that also Jack, we don't give enough credit to the fact that Jack has a theater background, and if more wrestlers had a theater background, they might get over better because they understand the story, they understand good guys and bad guys, they understand, like, you know, that it's all about charisma, blah, 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 blah. I'd say that Jack could have been going as like a ye olde fisherman and he would have got over as a baby face. Like, there is literally no way that you could have failed at this endeavor. You're just like too charismatic.
If you've said that, I'm just like committing to your bit. You look great.
I also feel like what you've actually given there is kind of money anyway. It's like, oh, you are the catch of the day, son. I'm bringing you out deep and it's going to get splishy splashy.
Oh, he's reeling them in. He's reeling them in.
And then
a bunch of wrestlers don't have I'm not saying they've no understanding of the business, but they're a little off target.
But they don't understand enter goddamn tainment.
It's like they're working really hard at a part that ultimately there's limited benefit to being much better at than they are. Whereas, like, if you actually just push down this one other bit where, like, just make people like... I used to say this to, in my more honest moments, I used to say this to the younger comics. I said, ultimately, if you can just get people to like you, like, frankly, it covers for a lot.
They want you to succeed.
And it's in front of the curtain and behind it.
Yeah.
It's easier to maintain it consistently if you're both, but the key is just convincing people that they like you. You know, you can be the biggest asshole in the world in the back if you can convince people that you're not. You know, it's just easier not to do that. Like, it's not, like, at least in wrestling, if you can get them to really hate you, there's value in it.
Mm.
Whereas, like, there is no value in, like, Floyd Mayweather will not have a comedy career. There is no value in me not liking you as a comic, frankly.
Mm.
Whereas, like, if it, in something where it's all, this is almost not true in wrestling anymore, actually, because the cat is so far out of the bag that we can't even really remember that that's where he used to live. But in a combat sport, there is value in being hateable and in me not liking you and in me wanting to see you get your ass kicked. But there's the wrong kind of heat too.
Hey, there's go away heat.
Wait, there what? Is. Yeah, okay. Who has go away
heat? Kennedy had go away heat with the CIA, you know? Like, that's kind of
big time.
Jack will not tell you an active wrestler that has gone away because Jack still would like to have a career in wrestling.
Manus, hit me with that truth.
I want to be a bit fair to Jack too, and not like
I'm trying to think of one.
Like, not an Irish wrestler or like a wrestler in the past who had go away heat, who's like no longer
the famous one. And I don't think it's fair it actually is true while not being fair. The trope codifier of like the wrong kind of heat was X-Pac.
That was going to be my late career X-Pac.
Late career X-Pac like gives up. Like very late career, as in like we saw him at OTT late.
Oh
career.
No! He came back. He came back from it, but he was. It usually corresponds with being overpushed. and he kind of did have it. You would see it in, like, when you'd get the quarter hour ratings for a program. It's like, oh, why did everybody turn off the program at that point? And there are guys that there are some certain fighters have it. Brian Caraway is one that comes to mind. I don't particularly know why, but people didn't like him.
In other sports, like, is there a go away heat for footballers? I mean, it's a different.
Saracens have go away heat.
Saracens do have go away heat.
Football, it's like, you guys are not set up to play this game. Please leave if you're getting in the way.
Yeah.
Saracens will be the closest equivalent, but, like, the thing with any sport is that, like, ultimately, there is a physical reality, and that, like, if you're good at it, you're good at it.
I would say in golf, Bryson DeChambeau kind of has go away heat, the mad scientist of golf.
But Gavin, I wonder. It's a good point. He's the closest thing to a heel in golf I can think of. Mm. I don't know if it's go away. I want to see Bryson DeChambeau get embarrassed and lose.
He is, like, in a field of rakes, just waiting to step on one. Like, he is. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, he doesn't have go away heat. And there are Bryson DeChambeau stans as well, who just absolutely love everything he does. But
the closest thing to it in real sport would be a dominant bore. Or, like, just...
I hate to do myself dirty like this. Dublin GAA.
Yeah.
No, because I loved when Mayo beat them.
Yeah, but, yeah, like, there was 6 years there of, like, them playing and, like, you know, Father forgive me, terrible, terrible guy, terrible dominant guy who just, like, crushed games, strangled them, and also had, like, an overwhelming advantage in terms of population size, in terms of, you know, them being them living near to a training ground, money, everything about Dublin GAA made them the bad guys. But they were also, like, boring to watch.
The real key is they also didn't even have the decency to be arseholes about it.
Yeah. Like, no better person than Stephen Cluckson in an interview after. It's like, oh, they gave us a good game, you know.
Another example is F1 Lewis Hamilton.
Yes.
He's not a dickhead. He seems like a decent guy, and so you don't dislike him, but it's so boring.
I would say the Mercedes team had go away heat in general. Just, like, boring. You made the most outrageous sport that's real boring for 5 years. And
I got another one.
Only savable. Oh, Djokovic is. Djokovic.
Yeah, I think Djokovic dominant four. Like, when it was Federer or Nadal, I think.
They had each other. They were, circumstance meant that they weren't bores because they had each other. But Djokovic is just a bit younger.
And also, a couple of years younger, and, like, is given a few years to just totally dominate the field. I also feel that, like, Federer and Nadal had competing styles, which, like, played into the whole narrative of it.
They did, and they were, look, if they had, Federer had a charisma about him. Schumacher did too. You can't always put your finger on why someone's a dominant bore.
I would say that someone like Daniel Cormier in the fight game had something close to it, because it was like, God, you're so good, but your fights are so difficult to love.
I'm going to be bad at, like, figuring out who, because my favorite fighters are all like that.
I know. And here's why go away heat is a thing that can't exist in real sports, is because some people will respect any method to victory no matter what. So, like, there are people who are Djokovic fans who are just like, yeah, you know what? His first serve gets that fucking job done.
I don't know enough about the numbers of people watching in tennis to know whether Djokovic has that that go away quality. Mm. I will tell you that if you are looking, if it's undefeatable boars you're looking for, and you don't know very much about fighting, I think what you should do is look at a list of my favorite fighters, and they're all.
If you're looking for a list of shit things, just ask Manus what he recently was into, and you've got.
Oh, it's true.
A nice jumping off point.
Yeah. Like John Fitch, I love John Fitch. I love Daniel Cormier. I love Ben Askren.
You've just named people who are like pretty good but great promos.
I don't know if Fitch was a great promo, but they were all excellent wrestlers who won matches. But Cormier less so. Cormier had exciting fights. You have a blind spot with Cormier and you think he's worse than he was. But the other two that I mentioned are as crap as you say.
I think I think a real strong component of expat heat, of go away heat, is that you feel like the person is there undeservedly. Like the institution has implemented, because it's, again, in wrestling, it's a push. They have put you in a position that you do not deserve to be in, so I just want you to go away. I
can't. We're looking at it in sports, and it's very unlikely to be there. I bet it's in acting all the time, if we think about that.
Oh, James Corden has go away heat.
James Corden does.
Yes.
Get off my television. I hate you.
I love James Corden.
I think James Corden has a certain charisma that he has lost going to America. But listen, and also Gavin and Stacey is like top tier TV.
I like his late night show. Never saw Gavin and Stacey. I am like the one person who's at the intersection of those Venn diagrams.
Himself and Calvin Harris have like such like similar dynamics in that they were both so much better when they were fat and good crack, as opposed to like wildly successful, you know.
I don't even mind James Corden as a late night host because I just don't watch him and it doesn't bother me. Which I suppose is the definition of get off and change the channel heat, because he has it. Because I do change the channel. What I could never grasp is like, why is he the sports guy?
James Corden.
Yeah. Because he's fat.
But that doesn't make any sense.
It does make sense. Look who he's been replaced by, like Robin Ramesh do thing. You got to get people who are crap at stuff as like, it's like the reference athlete principle in the Olympics. It's just like.
No. But I also feel like.
I'm talking about.
There's also a spit. What do you mean for sports? Like, I think a league of their own is the only sports thing he does.
He was always fucking on maybe you're right. Maybe it is League of Their Own. Maybe that was the only program, in which case then I would have to eat a big bowl of crow, wouldn't I?
Ding dong! It's Deliveroo with your crow.
With my crow, I felt, and I suppose, and you know what? Things I feel are true. Feelings are true. facts are not important. I felt that he occupied the space of banter boy of sports.
Yeah,
big time.
Relatable fan type character.
Yeah, but I didn't find him relatable at all. I found him obnoxious.
No, but like
my feelings, I felt that way. So it's true.
Yeah. I understand where you're coming from, Manus, but like James Corden came to prominence as like a relatable fat bloke, Essex, just kind of normal guy. Like his character in Gavin and Stacey, which he wrote and like chose the character that he would play, is like the kind of guy who's really into the football, job in plumbing, and like that's all that's going on.
And
in
is that
life,
what
you know?
It was? Because I quite liked him in Gavin and Stacey also. And is that what it was? Is that he's just sort of this character that he got to write for himself? Was this character. And then because everyone working in television is a fucking moron, they went, oh, well, that's who he also is. So what we'll do now is we'll have him be professionally Andrew Flintoff's mate for a while until eventually we can send him to America. I mean, I think
there's a part of that, and there's a part of it being that like he wrote that for himself, and it's like such a well written character that like he understands that person, And then also he is David Beckham's mate. On the back of Gavin and Stacey, him and David Beckham became good friends.
I didn't know I knew he was friendly with I knew he was now friendly with those people. I didn't realize that that had come before A League of Their Own and him occupying the national. I don't know. I think it was maybe something about like what I think of the England football team. Like, I don't know why I hate them. In fact, I shouldn't hate them. In fact, at one point I loved them when the banter era England football team of Steven Gerrard, Wayne Rooney, Rio Ferdinand, Peter Crouch. 2006 World Cup, WAG era England football team were brilliant.
I love that there are these legends of the game in there. Steve Gerrard, Frank Lampard, and then you've also put in Peter Crouch.
You have to put in Peter Crouch of 2006 the England.
He's a target man.
I neither know nor like football, and I know that I would love I would support any team Peter Crouch plays.
Oh, no. But I'm not criticizing Peter Crouch. Peter Crouch is my favorite footballer of all time. And also, like, every ad that he does, I'm like, fucking legends. Getting there, getting Peter Crouch, paying Peter Crouch a lot of money. Yes, get it, Crouchy.
Yeah, you're right.
But, like, I think in terms of, like, quality footballers.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you're Harry Redknapp.
You're right. I rarely disagree with you, and I don't disagree with you here. You're absolutely correct. It's just in order to understand the appeal of that team, you have to. Peter Crouch was so popular that, in fact, a very well-regarded up-and-coming band actually wrote a song about him. It was called "I Bet Peter Crouch Looks Good on the Dance Floor." you know. Now that I think of it, actually, wasn't I in that band? It was Manus Cronin and Jamie Wright, otherwise known as the Route Ones. Our single goal. I'm playing wazzing here, but, you know, I don't do it that often, so let me add it. Our single goal was to get, and we failed at this goal, at the first hurdle, at the first thing we had to do, we didn't do it. We didn't record this on something that wasn't a phone. So, but our goal was, I bet if we, like, record this song and try to release it, that, like, we could get famous enough to be on Celebrity Big Brother. And that was our goal. That's what we were going to try and do. Because that was the same year that Maggot from Goldie Looking Chain was on Celebrity Big Brother. And I was like, this song has a chance to be as popular as the second most popular Goldie Looking Chain song, which I think is probably enough to get you on to Celebrity Big Brother. And the theory at that point,
the Channel 5 years, certainly.
You know, it was just like, fuck it.
Didn't Goldie Looking Chain do something recently?
Maybe.
I would be so surprised. But
okay, yeah. I'm 90% sure that they did some sort of like charity single.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that happened. I mean, I don't know that that happened, but I know that that happened.
Oh, yeah.
It's
called Get the Jab Done. It's a pro-vaccination song.
The only thing I'm more sure of than that is that the bloke from The Darkness has done a charity single recently. It's the only thing I'm more sure of.
The Darkness were so good.
I mean, that album wasn't bad. I had that whole album. But
Provisional
really,
Land was decent, yeah.
No, but also looking back on the album, I think, like, that is, like... Yeah, I made a big mistake liking The Darkness. But, like, those are the kind of adolescent mistakes that you look back on and laugh.
I think that album
was, like, one of the three albums I owned.
I bought their second album with money. But you have a lot more money.
Yeah, yeah. But you buying stuff for money is like us buying stuff with limbs.
that's also not true. People like James don't spend money at all, and it's why they have it.
Like, so this true. Must have meant a loss.
Yeah.
I made four purchases all year, and one of them was The Darkness.
Sorry, when he says purchase the album, not a copy, he owns the rights.
Oh, yeah, it's the rights to it. Yeah.
That's why you don't hear much about it.
I mean, to be honest, that is probably worth the same as just owning a copy of the album.
Did Did you ever go see The Darkness live, James?
No, I never had the pleasure.
Fuck, it seems like the kind of thing that might have happened. They might have played Edinburgh and you might,
That seems like the place for them as well.
No, because we forget that they actually...
No, the place for them is the sea. And they should get there.
They supported Lady Gaga. They were Lady Gaga's opening act for an entire tour. Think about the timing of that. Yeah.
So, yeah, wait, so... Whoa.
Justin Hawkins is a better singer than Lady Gaga.
I'm a Gaga fan.
Yes, he is. Just a singer. Just a singer. He's a better singer than she is.
No, he's not.
No, he's
not. First off, yeah, Lady Gaga is a very good singer. And like Christopher Hawkins' range is, I would say, one octave. It just happens to be a very high octave.
I'm not shitting on Lady Gaga to say I think he has better pipes than she does. And I think it's the only reason they had a career. Lady Gaga has way better songs than The Darkness. She didn't need to be on that level of vocalist in order to make them work.
But she's also like a classically trained singer.
I understand. I've seen YouTube videos of Stephanie Germanotta playing piano in fucking Carnegie Hall. And like, that's one of those things that like, that's one of those I bet you didn't knows. That everyone knows, you know? Yeah. Well, you know, many people don't. No, they all know.
It's also total bullshit. I will say, I saw Lady Gaga live at, like, Oxygen or one of those. And I was there as, like, young fucking, I love rock and roll. You know, cool shit, like The Darkness. And we rocked up and we saw the end of Lady Gaga. And it was just her and a piano. She was fucking class. And I was like, oh, I've just been wrong about this person this whole time. Also, yeah, maybe
that just proves you were wrong about her. I was never wrong about her. I always thought she was a good singer.
I'm struggling. Like, you think Justin Hawkins is a better singer than Lady Gaga?
I think he has a.
The point that I'm making is, I think her singing is underrated if you've only listened to her albums. But you haven't. Right. You've watched the fucking YouTube videos. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, okay, go on, Manus. I think further elaboration. We're getting too bogged down in the Lady Gaga is good element of it rather than the Justin Hawkins element.
Well, I also can't win that argument because Jack's argument is unless I've seen her live, which
I'll rescind that. I was just saying if your like main point of reference is the album work. I would say I had a changing experience with some live shit, but you've seen the live videos.
So you're aware of her. Yeah, like,
I think Justin Hawkins is a very good singer. Yeah, that's what I think.
What are we defining as a good singer?
Oh, I don't know.
That's so subjective.
I couldn't in a million years do what he does with his voice. I spent a good portion of my life trying to sing. So that's my feeling on it.
So just to say, The Darkness, they have a new album coming out later this year.
Excellent. Can't wait.
Motorheart. And they've actually been pretty consistent with their albums. They've fallen into a groove one every 2 years, basically.
Yeah, The Darkness strike me as the kind of band who got...
Away.
Yeah, plug in, and also, like, had, like, you know, 5 million fans at one point, and then their second album came out and then went down to like 500,000, and then their third album came out and went down to like 60,000. 60,000 fans, a lot of fucking fans, you know? And if you maintain like at like 60 or 30,000 fans, that's enough to have a like really good music career.
They were, what they were was that they were very earnest. They took it seriously.
Yeah.
I don't fully think that they understood what had happened, why it had happened.
I feel like they were retro before retro became a big thing in a way. To the whole glam rock thing.
Yeah.
And now, they preceded stuff
like Steel Panther, which I feel like was a more distilled version of the nostalgia buzz that they rode to like momentary success. And I feel like people who were in for that kind of thing found their more refined dose of that in Steel Panther.
Steel Panther wink at you to the point that they will be they will be more enduring, but it would have been impossible for someone for a band as self-aware to have written, I believe in a thing called love, and to have had like a number one hit. I don't think they could do that.
No, I agree. I agree.
And like, it's a testament to the darkness that I have never heard of Steel Panther. And yet, like, I would say you could walk by 100 people on the street, 95 of them will know who the darkness are.
Yes, but I think both are right. And I think it's like, look, we all know, let me put this in COVID curves. You want to flatten the curve, you be Steel Panther. I think you probably got a harder core fan base that will endure for a longer time. And then you have the darkness are the UK let her rip and see what happens herd immunity approach, yeah. which is like, let's get a fucking number one hit and then figure it out.
But there's also a line... like, the darkness definitely didn't know that they were going to get a number one hit. Like, I don't know what they tapped into with I Believe in a Thing Called Love. And also, Love's Only Feeling is a fucking banger.
Great song.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah. I don't know what they tapped into, but it was something, it was the right moment. And then there was like nothing else similar around us that caught the zeitgeist in the same way. It was just like a weird moment in time.
I think, you know what it was? That they had just, they landed at exactly a time when the general public had seen enough of the Libertines.
Baby Shambles were, in fact, coming to a shambles.
They were like, all right, let's just... There's a line in the Def Leppard biopic. Why you would have watched that, I don't know, but I did. And I'll tell you, they're in the recording studio recording their first album, and the record producer says something like, we need to spread out these hits. We can't put them all on one album. And they're like, well, why not? And he said, well, do you want to have a career, or do you want to be the Knack? And I was like, oh, that might be the only good thing to come out of the Def Leppard biopic, or frankly, Def Leppard's career.
But, yeah.
Oh, come on.
I'm teasing. I have a special love for Joe Elliott, who used to send us faxes on the DPD fax machine.
Are you actually going to stand there and say that the band...
What's a good Def Leppard song?
Pour some sugar on me.
Yeah, but like, Pour Some Sugar on Me occupies the same mental space in my mind as My Sharona.
Yeah,
it benefited them nothing to spread them out.
No, the best Def Leppard song is their drummer had his arm amputated.
Yeah, that is the best thing. Yeah,
that's the best Def Leppard song.
The one.
And their second best song is that they had a cool looking logo. And their third best song is Pour Some Sugar on Me. And then there's like 15 miles of shit and every other item in the Def Leppard catalog. Again, speaking as a man who loves Joe Elliott and the faxes he used to send when we wouldn't deliver parcels to his house on time.
Yeah, that's a funny fact that I completely forgot about our shared past, Manus. The faxes from Def Leppard.
He didn't have a phone!
Just a fax machine.
Well, he did have a phone, but then it got destroyed from all of that sugar damage after
he was kept pouring some sugar on it.
In the
every
name
time.
Of love.
A lot of flies in that house after all the sugar he's poured on things. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, all those things I said at the start of this program that we were going to do, we're not getting there.
Sorry. There was an agenda, wasn't there?
So very sorry for agenda. Any of you who are thinking, oh, you're not fake, you're not folksy, you're fake. That'll be interesting. Wonder what they have to say about that.
You can fucking keep wondering.
You can shit.
Going shite.
I can't remember what else we said we'd do, but we won't be doing it. And given that I can't remember now what it was, what do you think the odds are that we're going to remember come next week?
this is one of those shows that I'm like, God, you know what? If we were recording this in person, we'd all be going for a pint.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, big time.
Sure, because this is too much fun. We said it before the show went on. I was like, this is going to be insufferable to listen to and tremendous fun to record.
But no, we finished. finished all of our points in a concise and succinct way that allowed people to really put a bow on the various topics we've covered.
I mean, brief we summary, were arguing at one point over whether a kick in the balls or a headbutt in the face was going to be more effective in a fight.
If I could summarize
honestly,
the episode.
That honestly seems like a lifetime ago. It seems like three episodes ago.
And it might have been the high point. That's the fucking sad thing. That might have been as good as this episode got.
So the guy from the darkness killed JFK with a mush in the, with a headbutt, and me and Manus need to fight to prove that that's true.
I mean, we really don't, because I like I cannot do well in that fight. Like, what's the best? What's the best?
Yeah. There's no win for you. Oh, either I look tough for lasting, or you look bad for beating me quick, or you look weak for having lost to me.
Or I lose a fight that people would have thought I wouldn't lose. So like, yeah, there's no benefit to me at all.
Manus, on another note, I recently watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and this just reminded me of it. There's a line in it where Bruce Lee says, "My hands are registered as lethal weapons. I could go to jail if I end up killing you." And then Brad Pitt goes, "Yeah, anyone could go to jail if they kill someone. It's called fucking manslaughter." And that, I would say fairly middling film, like not that great, didn't really enjoy it. That line got me good.
That was one of the best scenes in that whole movie.
Prison
for killing somebody. It's called manslaughter.
It is almost unfair to give this only the few seconds it's going to get. But yeah, I am anything that makes Bruce Lee look very silly for some reason just rings a bell with me. I don't know why. I have no idea why. I have nothing against the man, but like, he's just held in this. His fucking esteem, it's like you would never even think about it.
Why does that pro wrestler have so much respect? You tell me, because I don't fucking know.
Well, you know, he invented mixed martial arts. No, he didn't.
No.
No, he didn't.
He was in a film.
No, sure, Inoki and fucking Muhammad Ali did the first mixed martial arts fight, wouldn't they?
You could certainly argue it. I mean, the Gracies were doing...
No.
Doing open Manus, style.
I'm actually pretty sure that you're wrong there. And Bruce Lee did do the first ever mixed martial arts, where he brought the martial art of Kung Fu, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar brought the martial art of basketball. And it was
Bruce Lee could have been deadly. I have no reason to dislike him, but I do.
I'll be honest. I love Bruce Lee films, but yeah, the weird adoration of Bruce Lee.
I don't think I've ever watched
it. It's odd.
Like, if he had lived another 10 years, do you think that his cultural impact would have been the same? Probably not.
He could have really quickly become Steven Seagal.
Well, he nearly did. The only fucking difference is he was nice to Gene LaBelle after Gene LaBelle kicked his ass, so he didn't fucking tell that story very often. Whereas everybody knows that Gene LaBelle choked Steven Seagal until he shot himself.
Wait, I didn't know this, and I'm gonna look it up straight after.
So nothing. It was said of Lou Gehrig, and it wasn't fair because Lou Gehrig was a wonderful baseball player, and the quote is originally from Shakespeare, and Shakespeare probably stole it. But the line is, "Nothing ever became a man so much as the leaving of it," and that's Bruce Lee. Like, yeah, if he got to be an old man. Like that Mitchell and Webb sketch where they're talking about, you know, yeah, killing Diana, that's the right move here. Because, of course, people as they get older never go down in popularity, do they? So sorry to the Lee family, given that I bet if we met in real life, I'd much prefer Bruce Lee to Quentin Tarantino. I don't think he's probably sound. But
nothing about his whole personality leads me to believe that I would like Quentin Tarantino.
But given the paucity of people taking the piss out of Bruce Lee, that line, as it did with you, Gavin, it got right over with me too.
Yeah.
What do we think of the pie, gentlemen?
Okay, I'm gonna go for it. Remember when we had World's End at like episode 3, and it was like, I can review this beer and I can try to be as objective as I like about this beer, or I can review the time I had drinking it. I'm gonna go for the ladder and it's going to be a fucking 10. It's going to be a 10, baby! You know what? Old fucking time.
You know what, Gavin? You've set the bar and I can't fall below it. I can't lose this fight. I was giving this beer a 9, but I'm giving a review of a 10.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't drink
you
it.
You need to bring us down to earth.
Yeah, well, I've never given a 10 yet, and I'm not... This beer hasn't earned the first ever 10 for me. It's still a very good beer, and yes, I had a great time. But it's not a 10. It's very nice. I think there is a lot going on here, flavor-wise, despite what Jack said.
I said like, it wasn't complex. I said it was non-complex, but still very flavorful.
Yeah, you said a stupid thing. Get over it. It's fine.
Yeah, well, it's been a long hour.
There's the main sort of primary hit is just like the alcohol heat, but underneath that there's a sort of sweetness and a sort of almost caramel kind of flavor. And it is very enjoyable. It's hard not to still be affected by the fact that it's a, whatever it is, 9.6% or something. But there's not much to really complain about here. It is a very good beer. I think I'm going to go with 8.5.
8.5. Oh, fuck. I haven't had
I was
to
thinking
like
of
going
for 8,
so
but
long.
Then I thought I need to make the maths a bit harder for Gavin, so I bumped it up.
Yeah.
5. You know what that it still is, gets it to? According to my calculations, it's a 22.9, which I think I've done something wrong here.
Yes, yeah, you definitely have, you because have. It's a 28.5.
Which is a total score of 28.5 and a final counted score of 9.5. No, no.
That's a 9.5. What is
it? It's a 9.5.
That's a 9.5.
Wait, that doesn't sound right.
Yep.
Yep. Listen, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. This episode has sounded right.
And that spread out between us is 0.5 each.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Well done, James. The accountant managed to do the sums. And yeah, I didn't drink the beer, but I will review the experience. And it was an absolute 10 from me. Of course it was. I fucking got to sit here and talk and listen to myself talk for an hour and a half. Of course it was a 10.
And we were also here.
Yeah, it's great that you were, but frankly, I think I could have got to 9.5 even if you were.
And another thing about the legacy of Bruce Lee.
Yeah. And there's only one thing to choose to, and that is to shitting on the career and legacy of Bruce Lee.
Shitting on the career and legacy of Bruce Lee. Oh, very good. Yeah, whether it's listenable, I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't care.
I don't care. I frankly don't care.
All the kids in Springfield are SOBs.
And cut! Good enough. Splice in some reaction shots of me and shove it on the air.